What's going on, guys? It's the Chronicles of Podcasts. We're back once again for another week to tickle your old taste buds. I don't know why we're tickling them, because that'd be quite weird, putting our hands in your tongues. In your tongues? On your tongues, is what I meant to say. In your mouth, yeah, it's kind of odd. But that's where the 83rd edition is. And Jamie, I do believe that these are the Chronicles right here on your tongue of Braden Barry.
Braden Barry 2, baby.
Yeah. Braden Barry Part 2. I believe we should definitely get this show on the road.
Hey, honey bunny, it's Rivka Reyes.
This is Ron Wasserman, the nut that wrote Go Go Power Rangers.
It's Boba Fett here.
This is Molly Rennick from Living Dead Girl.
It's WWE superstar, legend, Davey Boy Smith's daughter, Georgia Smith.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Braden from Say We Can Fly, and you are listening to The Chronicles of Podcast with Jamie and Tom.
We're all slowly drifting towards insanity.
I want to eat the sun. That sounds like an amazing idea.
Love 24. I love 24 enchiladas. The Mexican spin-off. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 83rd edition of the Chronicles of Podcast. Are the Chronicles of Braden Barry 2. It is I, the bearded Brummy Jamie, and joining me, as always, is this handsome bugger right here.
It's the Scotsman Tom. There was definitely a Say We Can Fly song.
It was.
My brain is not allowing me to know which one it is.
Here's my heart.
That's Here's My Heart. It is Here's My Heart. Oh, okay. Well, here is mine, Jamie. No, I'm joking. I know, I'm only messing. Yes, Braden is back on the show this week, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Stay Cozy, Mr. Say We Can Fly himself, to talk about all his brand new album. So we're really, really excited. And obviously, he graciously sponsors our show. So thank you so much again, Mr. Barry. So we are very excited to get there. But first, we should discuss matters. Jamie, you know how we always talk about how artists rehash songs? So, you know, Jason Derulo, it's like all the 90s dance is now all of a sudden back again because people have started putting like Jason Derulo over the top of stuff. I just sing their names over it. DJ Khaled. Khaled. That's literally all it is. The entire time. Because he makes sure that he fucking doesn't actually make sure that you never forget his name.
We should start doing it. It's halfway through sentence. Jamie!
It's starting to happen to TV shows. So as we all know, Baywatch is returning.
Yes, I did hear this, yes.
Fuck knows why. It's that point where I think movies and TV shows, it's that point when they're going, I don't know what to write about anymore. I don't know what to... Oh, they loved that Baywatch, didn't they? Yeah, we'll get that back. We'll get that back. Fuck it.
Yeah, I don't get
and
it.
And Jamie Westwood, your favourite... Not children's show. Your favorite show as a child is what I meant to say is returning as well.
Is it?
Gladiators is coming
back. What? I got way too happy then. No, I did not know this.
I only know this because I had a message on Instagram from something called like Applause where they have free tickets. It's in Birmingham again. Gladiators is returning. Yeah.
Oh my shit! I need to go. I went 10 times as a kid. I need to go as an adult.
Why?
Because it's the fucking Gladiators. Why not?
Yeah, but because you can't take... I don't like... I'm probably like completely being a massive hypocrite and like shitting all over myself here, but it's fine. This is here for everybody's pleasure to enjoy and to laugh. So
to be fair, that reaction I just had there, though, is why this shit works. Nostalgia. Because even though, yes, they should come up with something brand new, for fuck's sake, it's been done. But at the same time, I get to see people hit people with giant cotton buds again. I'm down.
Well, there you are. So that's news for you. So Gladiators is back. And I'm just waiting for fucking, you know, it won't be Jim Davidson anymore, obviously. Even for a big break, it'll probably be fucking, like, I don't know, John Richardson or something. They'll start putting comedians doing game shows again and that sort of stuff. Big Break Generation Game. I absolutely loved that. But, you know, it's just not what it was anymore. Do you remember like Bullseye and shit where they bring out like yachts and then go, take it back. Look what you could have won, you twat. Oh, you bet you feel silly now, don't you? Take it back. Look at this. £1 million you could have had here. That's mine now. Fuck you.
That is always the biggest dick move ever in game show. And let's look at what you could have won if you weren't so fucking stupid.
Ha, ha, ha. Pretty much.
Off
pretty
you much. Go.
But I've got a couple of gym stories for you, Jamie. So I've gone back to the gym recently. Oh, granted, yeah. I've fallen off the wagon massively already, but I've been back 4 times in 2 weeks. I think that's pretty good for me because I used to be like once, like nah, once, nah. I was on the treadmill, which looks out upon Newport City Centre, and I was just having a little stroll, and I saw this guy who was just like, an old man, but he was like being really shady. And I was like, this is weird. So I just watched him. That's literally it. I was just like, I'm watching you. He went over to a bin, was looking around, put his hand in the bin, pulled out a McDonald's Fanta, and started thoroughly enjoying his Fanta and fucked off.
Ew, dirty bastard.
I mean, if you were really hungry or thirsty, I would have given you money. I would have paid. I would have got you a coffee or something. You don't need to go bin dipping.
Oh,
like, it was just grim. I mean, fuck knows who's been drinking out of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and what's landed on top? Another.
That's really upsetting that someone actually feels the need to do that.
No, I know, right? It's just.
It's like part of you is like, is it some guy that can't afford anything and he has to do that? Or is it just some real fucking weirdo that needs to get his act together, quite frankly?
Yeah. The other thing that really freaked me out on said gym session at the same time was there's a dude on the hip thrusters at the gym, right? whilst I was doing some, you know, bicep curls and just enjoying myself with this big bar, he may as well have just been fucking staring at me and thrusting his eyebrows at me too, with the way he was gyrating on that fucking thing. He was proper like, like really thrusting his cock into the air. So he might as well have gone, you know, right here for you, big boy. Come on, take a ride.
You've got to be able to master your facial expressions in order to do hip thrusts. Like, because you see women doing it and they go calm, they're doing it, they're doing their thing. And then there's blokes doing like, like you've got to know what the fuck you're doing.
I was doing this to Sharon last night. She was loving it. It's like that fucking McDonald's advert. That's me on the hip thrusters. I'm loving it, don't you? You want to come over here and call me Ronald McDonald, you fucking prick? I'll become the hamburger that once I got all your cheeks. Anyway, sorry. I'll stop. I love your gherkins. No one likes gherkins. You know you want some to say, I'm loving it.
So fucking rock.
Oh, on so many levels. But yeah, he might as well have been thrusting his little fucking eyebrows at me.
Sounds like an eventful day at the gym, to be fair. I like it.
It was a little bit. That's probably why I haven't gone back. how are you doing, my friend? Are you okay?
I'm good. I've had a few things I've noticed this week that I wanted to bring up. This week, I had an idea for a business I want to start, and I want to know if you will come and shop at my business.
You need to copyright this before you talk about it. If you put it in the universe, it'll get done.
It's a good point, actually. Right. Copyright Jamie Westwood. Right, here we go. So, me and the wife were talking. We wanted takeaway. Couldn't be asked to cook. We were like, do we have pizza or do we have Chinese? So, I had the idea that we should make a fusion takeaway restaurant. So, if you want pizza and Chinese, let's make you a Chinese pizza. And we could mix loads of different genres of food and make a fusion takeaway place. Would you
know how greasy that would be? Do you know how greasy probably a Chinese pizza would be? Very awful. No.
Can you imagine it?
No.
Chow mein on a pizza.
I don't.
Better idea.
Fucking lamb rug and Josh ice cream. Thank you very much. I'm all good. No, I'm fine.
Fine. You won't shop at my restaurant, aren't you supportive?
So I support your fucking ice cream business, so fuck off.
I think this could work. It needs to be well thought out for different menu items, but I think this could work.
In the words of Dragons, if you went on Dragon's Den and they would look to you, they'd be like, So what would be your 10 airfare? You'd be like, well, I don't know, fucking get Chinese on a pizza, mate. I'd be like, for that reason, I'm fucking in.
Yes!
That's probably not how it go. I didn't mean to make it sound like an asshole, sorry. Or stupid. I don't think you've thought... I mean, you could do curry on fish, that works.
See?
Curry on chips, curry. That works.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't do curry and Chinese together because we get Chinese curry, obviously.
We get Chinese curry.
Indian curries with
no, Chinese food. It'd have to be thought out. Like, you could do... Like, every now and again, you're going to hate me for this because you love Mexican food. But every now and again, I like to make bolognese enchiladas. It's like an Italian enchilada.
No.
And it's fucking beautiful.
No.
You're fusion in. You'd hate me for that. I knew you'd hate me for this. I haven't made them in ages.
Do you know what? I can't believe you told me this. I don't want to do this show anymore.
I've also done a curry version before as well. That's nice.
No. It doesn't work. Don't stop messing with the universe. Stop messing with, you know, with cuisines. There's no need to mess with cuisines, Jamie. All right. Leave the cuisines where they belong.
Jamie's fusion takeaway. It's coming soon. You watch. It's not coming soon. I can't afford a startup for a business. But still, the idea is there.
Okay.
I want to do it.
And it's good to be copyrighted.
It's copyrighted right at the start. That's a legal binding document just because I said copyright at the start. Also this week, I've seen the greatest news story. I feel hesitant saying greatest news story ever because someone passed away from it. So it's not nice in that sense. But I pissed myself laughing and everyone else that's seen it has pissed themselves laughing, okay? So that, I don't
know. You should live with that afterwards, not at the start.
Probably. But, you know, people would listen to this properly. I'm hoping you've not seen this because it is... Oh, my God. I read it out earlier and everyone in the room went, what? Is that real? A pensioner who was caught short decided to have a wee on a train track in India. He died while doing said business. Do you know why he died? Because a bit of a cow fell on him.
What?
82-year-old Shivdayal Sharma died instantly on Wednesday after an express train hit a cow on a train track, launching it 100 foot in the air, and then a part of it landed on an old man that was having a wee and killed him.
Holy crap.
Fucking way to go.
So sad, but I mean...
Yeah, do you see what I mean? It's horrible. Someone died, but fucking me, that's... What?
That's nuts.
A second person standing near the pensioner, as he relieved himself, narrowly escaped by being struck by the projectile animal. So that guy's just standing there minding his old business. He's going, this dude's having a piss. That's a bit weird, isn't it? Oh, shit, flying cow. Now the man having a piss is dead. What has just happened?
Don't they worship cows over there, don't they?
In India, yeah, they do.
Yeah. So I bet that train driver's absolutely heartbroken.
Probably. And just to make it worse, the guy who died... worked for the railways for 23 years. Just
damn, that's crazy, man.
And the other little fact that got me, I couldn't believe this. Cows have been reported being hit on these train tracks 26,000 times in the past year.
Will these build fences?
It's good to put up a fence, guys. Come on. I know it's a poor country, but I'm sure you could put up a fence. It doesn't need to be a big thing. Just put
I think they need to let them roam, don't they? Because they worship them and stuff. So I think that's why.
Possibly. But maybe put them somewhere not near a train track then. Just you need to rethink the system, guys. It's not working.
Well, as soon as we had story time with Jamie, shall we have story time with Tom?
Yes! Story time with Tom.
Story time with Tom this week is wholesome and wonderful, and it's not funny in any way, shape, or form. This is just a beautiful thing I read that I know you're going to love so much.
Okay. It's very different to mine.
My grandmother had a crush on Keanu Reeves because he reminded her of my grandfather when he was young. Saw all his stuff from Bill and Ted to The Matrix. Unfortunately, she had a stroke in her early 70s. Was pretty much housebound for the last 10 years of her life. So watching movies was her main hobby and became almost like friends to her because she so rarely got to see any of her own. Not too long after The Matrix came out, my uncle was in LA for business and was eating at a really swanky restaurant. When who walked in but Keanu Reeves? He came in with a woman. When he finished his meal, my uncle came up to the table and said, I don't usually do this, and I'm really sorry to ask, but I just want to let you know that my 80-year-old mother loves you and has seen all of your movies. You remind her of my dad. He said Keanu asked if he had a cell phone on him. And when he confirmed that he did, he said, give her a call. I want to talk to her.
Aww.
He spoke with my grandmother for several minutes and it absolutely made her year. She was so isolated, and his genuine kindness to her and interest in her showed what a truly amazing man Keanu Reeves is.
That is fucking beautiful. What a hero that. No one says a bad word about Keanu Reeves. I don't think I've ever heard a bad story about him. Absolute legend and hero of a man.
Oh, absolutely. We have to get him on the show.
Oh, could you imagine?
Because that would be unbelievable.
Oh, he's just, again, yeah, he's just such a nice guy by all accounts. You literally don't hear a bad thing. That is beautiful. I love little stories like that. That's how you use your celebrity correctly. That is beautiful.
Because it literally took, 2 minutes? 2 minutes? Just out of his time just to be like, let me speak to her. I think that's so lush. I mean, it would have been, I was fully expecting the story from last week of Craig Charles where she was like, no, you're not Keanu. But, you know what I mean? That would have been hilarious. But no, I thought I was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I like that. No, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Good.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyway, how are you, Mr. Stevens?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm really looking forward to my 5 days off. Like, I just can't wait now. Unfortunately, we had an interview cancelled tomorrow. But in a way, it kind of means that I could put all this away and I can go and chill for 5 days. And it's going to be great. Well, I say chill for 5 days. I do believe that in 3 days' time, I'm going to be in Birmingham with you.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We are going to be at the Primordial Festival this Saturday at KK Steel Mills at Wolverhampton for the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. We are going to be working at the Primordial, General Mayhem Show?
That's the one.
Headlined by Those Damn Crows. So it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. It's the first time since we've become ambassadors for the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. That is obviously now in the pipeline as well. That's also been confirmed. We are ambassadors for the Sophie Lancaster Foundation, which means that we are now going to be going out to shows and to gigs and to festivals and to events and whatnot, representing the festival itself. So you can catch us all around. Just keep an eye on your socials to find out where your Chronicles boys are going to be. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this weekend, man.
It's going to be good. It's a busy week this week, but I am so fucking excited. I'm going to 3 gigs this week. What the fuck? I don't know the last time I went to 3 gigs in general.
Who are you going tomorrow night? Who are you seeing tomorrow
night? Tomorrow night, I'm going to see Tragedy. They're like a metal tribute to the Bee Gees and like disco music. Like, fucking hilarious. But they're being supported by Nano War of Steel. So it's the main reason I want to go. And then Friday, we're going out to the Metals of the Masses. Bloodstock Metal of the Masses semi-final, headlined by friends of the show Broken Jaw, which is going to be amazing. And then on Saturday, Primordial Festival, like you say, so with former guest Becky Baldwin's band Furia playing. So yeah, what a week. It's going to be a busy old week.
Yes, it's going
to
be incredible.
And I'm working 2 night shifts in the middle of that as well.
That's disgusting, man. I'm literally working tomorrow and I'm done. I'm done till Tuesday, so I'm really excited because obviously Bank Holiday Monday is a thing. So, but yeah, so that's going on. What have I been doing this week? I've been Rihanna-ing quite a bit. Didn't go anywhere on the weekend. We went to Keris's mum's Monday night, last night, before the interview last night. Great interview last night. Absolutely unbelievable interview last night. Dangling the carrot again because things have been happening behind the scenes, but we cannot confirm yet, which is annoying because I'd love to just be like, ta-da!
I know, yeah.
But we can't, so... I've not watched Daddy or the series 5 Rabbit Hole yet, so I need to get that underway and done. But yeah, man, not a lot's really been going on, to be quite honest with you. Just preparing for this week more than anything else.
Nice. Nothing wrong with a quiet week. I myself have also had a pretty quiet week, to be honest. I've been Rihanna-ing. I've been going to the gym as well. I've been going before work, so nice and early gym. I love going early morning. I know most people think it's sickening to go to the gym at like 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, but I love going at that time. Probably because there's barely anyone there.
I was going to say, is there anyone in?
There's more people there than you think there is, but it's still pretty damn quiet. I like it. I like going that time of day. Obviously, as you just said, we've done a fair few interviews, but I actually watched quite a lot this week, to be honest. Quite rare for me. I don't. But yeah, I've actually watched quite a lot. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about the Super Mario Brothers from 1993. And I found out from this podcast, there's an after credits scene. I had no idea. I've seen that film a billion times in my life. Never knew there was an after credits scene. So that made me want to go watch that again. So I'll watch that again. So bad. So bad, but so great. Star Trek Picard is on season 3. Season 1 was okay. Season 2 was... Season 3 is mind-blowingly good. Like, it has been so good. We've caught up on, like, 4 or 5 episodes in the past 2 days. We're just like, we need to know what happens. We need to know what happens. So it has already finished, like, on the streaming system. But there's 2 episodes left, which I can't wait to watch because it's been so fucking good. I watched Power Rangers Once and Always. I've actually watched the special. Have you watched it yet?
Nope.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Like, yeah, that's all I'll say. I'll wait till you've watched it and we can talk about it properly, but it's beautiful. It's really good to watch. Everything I wanted made me very happy. But 2 important things to announce in my watching wise. I have finished 24.
Welcome to the club.
Jack Bauer has gone to the Russians. I have finished it. I don't know how I feel. I finished it and I was like, I feel a little bit empty now. I'm not going to lie.
Don't you think, though, it's got one of the greatest death scenes ever?
The pulling out the window one.
When he just picks her up and just fucking launches her out the window, I just went, there's no way I've just seen. There's no way in hell that's just happened. And that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
There was a couple of amazing deaths. There's that one. And there's like, he chops some fucker's head off of a machete. Yeah. I was like, get out of here, Cheng, you bastard. I was so happy to see him get his... But that scene on the boat where Jack finds out that, oh my God, why is that? Audrey has died. And the way he just sinks. And as soon as he sunk, I just went, he is going to lose his absolute shit. I was like, 5, 4, 3. And he just got up, grabbed that gun. I was like, oh, here we go, boys. And he just lost his shit. And every fucker died. And I was like, yeah, come on. I was so into it. I was, God, I fucking love this show. I'm gutted it's ended. I'm absolutely gutted I finished it.
Well, don't remember, he did have an interview.
He did.
Possible season 10. So fingers crossed, everybody. Fucking we're in for a ride.
But I am now on episode 4 of 24 Legacy.
I've never seen it.
I tell you what, it's pretty good. Really enjoying it. The characters in it, like, you know how when you watch normal 24, you get really invested in the characters. You're like, I want to know what happens to these guys. That's not happened. Like, I really could not give a fuck about any of these characters. But the story's great. And the cast in it, I was Googling like every cast member because I recognized them. I was like, oh, it's her from Sabrina. Oh, it's him from Sons of Anarchy. Oh, it's her from Titans. Oh, it's her from Skins. Oh, it's him from Flash. Like, I recognize pretty much every fucking cast member. but it's really good. I definitely check it out when you get a chance. It is good. It's got like the theme tune and everything. It's there. It feels like an episode of 24, the way it's laid out and everything. But yeah, it's probably just because I'm missing Jack and Chloe and everyone. That might be what it is. But no, it's good. I'm actually quite enjoying it. It's only 12 episodes as well, like the last season. It's only 12. And it's only done 1 season, so obviously it wasn't a hit, but...
No, it got cancelled straight away.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's all right. It's not bad. The only thing is, it's because it's called Legacy, I was sort of expecting there to be hints to the original show, or maybe it was set before the original show, but no, it's literally just the tune, and that's about it, really.
Okay.
Nothing. That's what I've been up to this week.
Nice. Well, we should definitely check in with our guest this week with his absolutely grandioso his absolutely grandioso advert.
Come on, Brayden.
All right.
Is this thing on?
Well, howdy doody, everybody.
This is Brayden Berry from Say We Can Fly, founder of Stay Cozy Clothing, your one-stop shop for the coziest, most fashionable hoodies, t-shirts, and more.
Gorsh, Mickey.
That's right, folks. And we're proud to say that we are now sponsoring
the Chronicles of Podcast.
Ouch.
Hosted by Tom and Jamie.
Like, you can get 10% off, man.
That's right, Shaggy.
Just use the special code, The Chronicles, at checkout.
Oh, boy.
Definitely the best advert ever, my friend. Oh, yes. And now we'll move on to your favorite segment. Jamie?
Yeah?
It's time for Callum's Teachings.
Yeah, it is.
Do you want to know something? Callum will be able to tell you in Callum's Teachings.
It's cereal soup.
Ooh.
Callum is back once again to teach the nation. He's like POD. We are.
I told him in it.
You the nation.
Preaching
lovely.
The nation.
So, Jamie, let's get started. What is Callum teaching us this week?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer fell in love with two vampires. That makes her pretty terrible at her job.
Oh, Callum, you are being a very brave boy. Fucking no,
that's
Buffy
amazing. That is so true, though. That is so true. There's always a fucking loophole in somewhere, isn't there? At least in something where it's like, well, hang on a second. Surely that shouldn't be happening because of this reason. It's like, oh yeah, but it's because they're in love. So it's like, where is this, like some sort of potion? So like the pheromone like makes her think that it's not a vampire, so she loves him because she loves him, you know what I mean? So she can't kill him because it's like some pheromone that's coming out. You know, in episode 1, 2, 4, 6, 9, 4, 2, when she talks to Giles about this, you know, in the school, and then she comes up and she's like, basically it's because she's in love with him. I can't stand those people.
It's fucking brilliant.
I know people love shit, but my God, you don't need to love.
Yeah.
I love 24. I love 24 enchiladas, but I don't love enchiladas.
Love 24. I love 24 enchiladas. The Mexican spin-off.
This is the first. No, it's food, you melon. The
obviously,
food itself.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
God, I thought the joke was funny. God.
But yeah, there are people that really get into that. Like wrestling fans do my fucking twatting. I just can't stand them. Just because it's like, oh, you know, MJF should be champion because it's MJF. Like, who the fuck thinks he deserves a title? Like, oh my God. Like, you know, because I follow him everywhere he goes and I know his workout routine and I watch him every single day. Can you move the lamp, please, Max? Can you move the lamp, please, so I can see what's going on? Like, oh, you just don't deserve to be champion because you eat chicken? Like, fuck off. Like, seriously.
He moves the lamp, please, Max.
Fine. It's just bullshit. It just winds me up. I suppose, I don't know. Maybe I do it with Chef as well. You know, everyone is probably a law unto themselves with this sort of thing, but you don't need to love something that much.
No. I've always said about most things, the worst things about a fandom is the fans, because they just take it too fucking far quite often. Just enjoy it for what it is, please.
It's great that people love. Like, I think that's fantastic that you love, you know, Full House or Buffy the Vampire Slayer, whatever, or Grey's Anatomy. But like, you don't need to go full on. Like, you know, these people that make themselves look like Barbie. Why? What are you doing? Like, I need to look like Barbie. I don't think you heard what I said, Doctor. I need to look like Barbie.
Yeah, I don't understand fanatics at all, but yeah, we kind of went completely off topic from that treach there, but there we are. He's absolutely right, though. Like, why is she sleeping with vampires if she's supposed to be killing them?
It's something we shall never understand, Jamie. I'm sure some Buffy fans out there probably like, because of this reason and this reason, and then that's great. If you can shut me down.
It's because it's David Branners and most women want to sleep with him. That's pretty much what it is.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I just know the wife fancies the living shit out of him. So, yeah.
Is he the bones guy?
He is the bones guy.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Anyway. And next up, Jamie, what is Callum teaching us this week?
We're all slowly drifting towards insanity, but sleep resets the timer.
That's like really insightful.
It's really good to like that.
Is that because the longer you stay, the more you're like,
God. Yeah, which makes sense why I'm going slowly mad.
I want to eat the sun. That sounds like an amazing idea. Yes. With a side of Jupiter. Excellent, yes. Listen, my plan is working. Oh, that was a lovely sleep. Oh, lovely day back on Earth. Yes, I shall use Flash to wipe the kitchen down. I'll have pancakes for breakfast, thank you. Jamie, did you not remember the part about eating the sun? The fuck you added to what eating the sun? Are you all right? What's wrong with you? I want these pancakes with blueberries and bacon and maple syrup, actually.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I love that. That is so good because it's so fucking true. Like, when I work nights after my first night and I'm up for like 25 hours before I end up going to bed, I do feel like I'm going to go insane before I get into the house and into that bed. So I don't know how you do it anymore.
Like, I really don't. I just, at 30, at nearly 36, 37, man, like, hell no.
I think I just don't function anymore. I just exist. I don't really function.
Talking about not functioning, right? This really makes me laugh. Gym people, right? This annoys me. When people do a leg day and then go, I can't fucking walk. What's wrong with me? Oh my God, get in the bin. Of course you can walk. I can't. Whilst you're walking, I can't walk anymore. What's wrong with me?
Oh, my legs, they're just so muscular from that fucking workout. They just don't work.
It's like what we used to be at school. And when you get back to school, you're like, what can't I write? I can't write anymore. I haven't written for 6 weeks. But it's so, it is, I think you should write a book, Callum. It's really philosophical. You should write like some philosophical piece, but make it like really like Treacher's. It'd be amazing.
Love that.
You know, like a kid's book, you just put it over. It's like, is cereal soup? Well, it is cereal soup. It's a good question. Write a book, Treacher.
Do it. Oh, I'd love that. It'd be amazing.
And finally, Jamie, what is Callum Treaching us this week?
A ton of elephants is less than one elephant.
Wait, what?
And that took me a minute then. A ton of elephants is less than one elephant because an elephant weighs more than a ton.
Oh my God, he's done it again. See this book, Callum? You need to write this book of philosophical treatises. That's nuts.
I love those treatises that are really clever when you think of them, but until you've actually clicked onto what it means, you feel like a right dumb bastard.
At least we got it, Jade. No, previously we were like,
yes.
Is it to do with triangles? Is it where the sundial turns thus and becomes a rhombus?
Yeah, we have been caught out being really fucking stupid on this show. I can't remember what that one was that Claire shouted at her TV while watching it. I can't remember what it was, but that was fucking brilliant.
It's about the sun setting. Is that day and night? Something like that anyway.
Something like that. But no, that's a really good point because when you say a ton of, it sounds like there's going to be loads of them, but less than one.
That's great. I brought my ton of elephants. Have you, dear? There's only one there. Yeah, exactly. No, but I thought you said a ton of. You said plural, Dave. What's wrong with you? Simon, look. Where's one fucking ton, mate, okay? So it's going to be one fucking elephant. What, do you want three? Oh, you're fucking mad bastard if you want fucking three of them.
I said a ton of elephants, not tons of elephants, Dave. You should listen to me. Open your ears, Dave. Your ass, right, you know. You don't fucking listen.
But yeah, Callum, write a book. Write a book, because that's genius. I love it every single time. Just, you know, don't touch in Braille. It must be is one of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life. Please keep off in Braille. Yeah. That's still one of the top tier treatures, that one. And that was another edition of Callum's Treachins.
And beautiful, as always.
Oh, you just smashed them out the park. Literally on the bloody weekly, Dave.
On the bloody weekly.
But then I have to follow.
Yes, you do.
It's time for Tom's Journal. And welcome to another edition of Tom's Journal. So, Jane, me talking to God. God, why must you give me your hardest battles? God, I don't. You are my weakest soldier. And these battles are so easy. It's only an email asking why you're crying.
I I did not go where I was expecting it to.
So I work with a guy. He's from Mexico who doesn't speak a lot of English. A Canadian goose made a nest by one of the paddock gates and hissed at him while he was putting the horses out. He comes back to us after and says, "I do not like the cobra chicken."
Did you just say cobra chicken? Is the best name for a goose fucking ever. Cobra chicken.
Oh,
Is phenomenal.
I find this mental, right? This is such a good point that this used to be a thing. It's absolutely insane that people used to publicly update their Facebook relationship status to "it's complicated." That is some mad shit.
Still do that.
I don't think you can do it anymore. No, but people would do it like and just do it. And then the other half would be like, "What do you mean it's complicated? Like, oh, why?" Pioneers, those people, fucking brave ass bastards.
It's complicated, Sharon, because I'm trying to work out how to tell you it's fucking over.
This is definitely a Jamie post,
God, here we
a
go.
Jamie entry to the journal. When things seem especially rough, just ask yourself, "Did I shit my pants today?" And if the answer is no, you're doing all right, kid.
Like that. That's a great way of looking at life. Love that.
And then I'll be like, "Long story short," and then tell it with behind the scenes bonus features.
That's you. The scenes bonus features.
This entry really made me fucking laugh. And then everyone started sharing it. I was like, "No, Jake will see it." You probably have. "So what do you do before you're able to Google the lyrics of songs, James?" "Well, kids, I accept without question that this woman's lover had no money, but did thankfully have a trombolese."
I haven't
"Our
seen
love has
that
got no power. This guy's trombolese."
poster.
It is, in fact, Jamie, "My guy has strong beliefs." But obviously, at the
Is
time,
not what that says. I
"My love has got no power. This guy is trombolese."
not seen that. That's amazing.
I'm amazed, to be honest. It went fucking everywhere. Definitely a conversation. Sorry, I said definitely. This could be a conversation between you and Becky. Do you know what would be really sexy? Eating food off each other. You didn't do the dishes, did you? I did not.
I'll have you know, I always make sure the dishes are done.
Exactly.
Yeah, I make sure the
Exactly.
dishes done. Anyway.
Dude, I cannot believe it's been 3 years since our lives with Joe Exotic, banana bread, and fist fights over toilet roll, and I still can't quite process that it was ever a real period of my life.
How the fuck was that 3 years ago?
3 years ago. How nuts is that?
That's crazy. I miss Joe Exotic. I wonder what he's up to.
He's in prison, you twat.
I know he is.
Oh, I was gonna say, okay. I thought you were genuinely asking the
I know
question.
he's. I just mean, I wonder what he's up to in prison. Like, he's such a weird dude. I'm surprised he hasn't been killed yet.
Just mental, man. Just so mental. Her, what's your favorite position? Me, devil's advocate. Her, I meant sexual position. Me, but what if you didn't?
That might be the stupidest fucking entry to the journal of all time. That's even stupider than swept her off her feet. Fuck's sake. Oh, that face makes me think you're going to top it.
I'm about to top it,
I
yeah.
fucking knew it.
This is one of my favorite entries, and we're talking about fan bases. They're gonna fucking love this entry. "Flirting with a man at the bar." Me, "Hey, Let me see your phone. I'll put my number in. Unsuspecting fool. Sure. Gives me his phone. Me. Transfers his entire Pokemon Go team to myself. Fool. Wait, what the fuck? Me. Rips off my jacket to reveal a sensible tea with a large bedazzled red R to protect the world from devastation.
You're right, that was fucking stupid as well.
I thought that was amazing.
Fuck's sake. Oh,
I love that so much. I absolutely loved it. I'll give you two more because I'm going to finish on an absolute beauty. Look, boys. Cauliflower is so tired of y'all trying to make it something it's not. It never has to be a chicken wing, a steak, a rice, or a crust. It wants to live in its albino broccoli truth.
Broccoli, I'm calling it after that one. And whoever decided to use cauliflower as rice, get in the fucking bin. It's the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. Be gone.
I love cauliflower, so don't touch it. Leave it as is.
Absolutely. Gravy. I like cauliflower, but cauliflower rice is vile. Don't do it.
This is probably, arguably, in my opinion, one of the best journal entries ever.
Oh, them's are strong words.
They are strong words. And it literally is one sentence.
Oh, God.
Gentlemen, we are gathered here today by my milkshake.
Fuck. Fuck's sake.
And that was another edition. Tom's journal.
Do you ever think when she wrote that song, she realised just how much it would be memed and parodied to this fucking day?
Yeah, I bet she makes fucking billions, though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised she hasn't released her own line of milkshakes.
It probably has, or tried to.
Yeah, probably.
But that was just, I was like, that's going in. Fucking, that's amazing.
It's fucking brilliant. It's one of those ones where you hear, like, huh? No, I get it. For fuck's sake. I love a good thinker.
Jamie, I do believe that we should bring in that piece of resistance.
Oh, we definitely should bring in that piece of resistance.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Braden Barry 2.
Yeah, the boy is back for his fourth time coming on the show. It is absolutely incredible. Braden is back to talk all about his brand new album, Beneath the Roses. We have been singing its praises for weeks on this show, and now you get to hear all about it, all about what Braden's been up to since we last spoke to him. And it's just a good old time chatting to Braden because we love this man very, very much.
He gives you an update on Stay Cozy, his brand new TV series, Farlight, that he's currently writing right now. And of course, like Jamie said, just that fucking wonderful album that needs playing over and over again. Definitely his best work. But let's cut to the chase, shall we? Jamie!
Yes, sir.
Any final words at all?
Just a massive thank you to you, Braden Barry. You wonderful man, you. Just means the world you're coming on and spending time with us.
Yeah, thank you, Braden. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on once again. Always enjoy talking to you. Pretty much, guys, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, interviewing this week, it's Braden Barry. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we bring you a guest who's returning to us for the fourth time. He's a musician, filmmaker, actor, clothing designer, podcast, a Canadian, a dab hand at Rocket League, and an all-round wonderful human being. He and former guest Caslo have just released my 2023 Single of the Year with Your Boyfriend's Car. Here to talk all about his brand new album, Beneath the Roses, and much, much more. It's Mr. Stay Cozy Clothing. It's Mr. Say We Can Fly. Boys and girls, these are the Chronicles of Braden Barry.
Thank you, Jamie. That was absolutely wonderful. Mr. Stay Cozy Clothing. I love that. I just have to change my name legally to that. That's great.
Yes.
It's making me the tagline or something now, just like the motto, whatever, of the brand.
I was just listing the things you do, and I was just like, I'm going to keep going. Fuck it. I'm just going to put more in.
Very flattering, thank you.
It's like he was an Nazi to the ring or something. There for some big fight. Anyway,
yeah,
let's crack on. So, obviously, we last spoke to you on your own back in October 2020. So, I suppose that was in the midst and the heights of the pandemic. So, how the last few years been for you? Like seeing all that out and whatnot.
Yeah, it's been good, man. I mean, you know, I guess that was the last time we talked, like solo. I don't know. I think, yeah, my perspective on life has changed a lot, like through that whole time, as I'm sure it has for all of us, in a lot of good ways. And some things, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, but overall it's been, you know, pretty happy with where I'm at and still continue to, you know, try to create music and other stuff. And yeah, I mean, things are pretty good, man. I can't complain.
Good.
Oh.
I love it. But Braden, before we get started, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you. So I thought we were friends here, but you were last on the show to talk all about Dake and Tyke. You and Micah came on, talking about Dake and Tyke. We released that episode. And then 5 days after the episode came out, the Dake and Tyke album dropped and you didn't mention it once. Where was our exclusive scoop?
Did I not?
No.
Weird. You know, okay, here's what might have happened. Spotify took it off at one point and then re-uploaded it. So it might have been like re-uploaded after we talked, I think, if I'm not mistaken, because they took down everything that was like live comedy and it got mistakenly like tagged as like a live stand-up comedy. So they took it down and I had to fight over email to get it back up, but we did. So that might have been what happened. Yeah.
Spotify. So with these big businesses that like throw a dick around, like, you know, I don't fucking think so. You do realize what this is, don't you? You're like, actually, you're a moron. It's actually just funny songs that I wrote. And we just
that kind of stuff happens a lot, man. Like just all that weird kind of copyright and random stuff like that. So but we got it sorted out. And then the new single Hum in the Hoist came out soon after that. So yep.
Just say the name makes you chuckle.
What a tune. What an absolute banger that is.
Pretty good.
But while we're talking about Dake and Tyke, what's happening in the world of the Gentleman Stoners? Is there any plans with it?
Yeah, Tyke is over in the Middle East right now. He became like a really famous like Bollywood actor. And Dake, I don't know. He got trapped in like some like lighthouse or something. So he, I don't know. We're trying to get a hold of them, but it's been tough, man. The network, you know, Bob Starr has been really like financially struggling a lot. So, I mean, they're working on it, you know, so yeah, eventually they'll pop back up as far as I know. So.
I really want to see Tyke in Bollywood now. I really want to see that.
He's in like a new series called Attaboy Raj. It's like a 7-film series and he's killing it. So yeah, it's awesome. Man, yeah, so
that's gonna get written in.
Yeah,
all right, that has to get written in now. So obviously, Jamie mentioned it at the beginning before all the hilarity ensued. The brand new album, Beneath the Roses, is out now. Absolutely unbelievable. Probably one of some of the best work that you've ever done, in my opinion. Has it been well received?
Yeah, and it has, like, in all seriousness, yeah, I mean. It seems like the response has been good. I'm not like, you know, I don't comb through comments all the time. But yeah, it seems like people are liking it and I, you know, just kind of connecting with it, which is obviously the goal. And the streams have been good. So I'm very happy with the response for sure.
What do you think is about this record that's really resonated with people? Because yeah, like, so many people have read like comments like, this is the best stuff. It's so good.
I don't know. I think I really tried to like tap into the same kind of space as when I released Between the Roses, which was the first album I did. I tried to really kind of go back into that space. So maybe that's it, you know, and just kind of re-explore that world. So I don't know. I think it was maybe just the space I was in when I wrote it and recorded it. And yeah, I don't know.
Do you have any particular favorite tracks on there?
Yeah, Without You, I think is my favorite. After just, yeah, after a couple of years of listening, that's still my favorite, I think. And Part of me, I don't know. Hell is. I don't know, I like a lot of them. I try to enjoy all of them, but yeah, Without You is favorite. So
I definitely think that's probably, again, in my opinion, the greatest song you've ever written, ever done. It's you can really hear and feel the emotion and just the rawness of it all, especially when you get towards the end and you're there absolutely belting it out as well. It's just it's so captivating every single time. Like, it just gets every time I hear it, and you're like, that build-up's coming, you're like, oh my god, this is going to destroy me again. Thank
you, man. Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I definitely went on like a journey really when I was recording that, and yeah, it was very just healing, and I don't know, it's hard for me to explain that stuff, but yeah, I agree. I mean, I really put a lot of my heart into that one for sure.
It's Long Way Down for me. I absolutely love that song. And the way it blends in as well to the next, it's great. It's so damn good.
Yeah, I like that one too. I just really like, there's this one song called Agape by Bear's Den, which I absolutely just love it. I just wanted to do a song that was kind of that like folky, kind of groovy, like, you know, stuff. So I'm really happy with how that turned out.
So I know you went into an actual studio to mix this instead of doing it at your home studio. What was there a particular reason you did that in this time round?
I think just because like a lot of times, like I do, you know, I'll record and mix my own stuff, like, but I've just felt this album really needed that. Like, I needed to just be able to really focus on like the more like emotional creative side of it and have someone else kind of doing like the technical side. And I worked with my friend Matt Malpass, who's just an incredible like engineer and mixer. I just felt like I needed to like give myself like a hard 2 week like deadline. Like, you only have 2 weeks to do this. You got to do it. So I like to go to the studio, so, you know, when it makes sense and when I can, because it's just a whole other kind of level and whole other vibe. So I just felt like the album needed that, and it really definitely worked out. So
you think having that deadline, you think having the deadline really helped with the quality of the, because you knew you had. So you were set to a certain time, so like, I need to get this done. Because I suppose in another way, having a deadline like that can make you go, oh fuck, shit, do I like that bit, or is that, I don't know about that bit, but I'm not sure about this.
Yeah. No, I think like, all I always work better with deadlines, and like, for the most part, a lot of, especially my earlier records, like, I always had that, and it just helps you kind of really just more be in the moment and be like focused and like, this is what we're doing. And yeah, it's, you just don't have time to think as much. So I think in a lot of ways it is like really beneficial for a lot of projects. So
yeah, I suppose Yix as well. Oh, sorry, Karen.
No, you're good. It's because obviously my other half, Keris, her favorite song is Make You Mine, which I believe you wrote in the studio. It was just a random moment of going, do you know what? Let's just write another song. Fuck it. If it fits, put it in.
Yeah, exactly, man. I just like, for some reason, like that, I need one more song on the album. And like some songs, like even October, I finished writing while I was at the studio, and like I'll like write a bridge for a song, like on my studio. And I like to do that because it kind of, it's just like, you know, very authentic and like genuine. And I don't know. But yeah, Make You Mine, I just picked up the banjo and I was like, ah, sat in the vocal booth and then just wrote it and tracked it. So
yeah, it's great. It says it makes me want to dance to like poppy fields and like daisy fields and stuff, with the sun shining, rainbows everywhere, leprechauns jumping up and down, unicorns flying, that sort of thing. You always, every time I play it, she's literally coming in, like skipping away, like into the living room, just like loving life.
It's amazing. I love that. Sorry, my contact lens is just destroying me. So I'm trying to power through it.
You okay?
Yeah, if I'm like squinting and stuff, that's why. So okay. Anyway, but yeah, thanks. That's, I appreciate that. That's really nice.
I think Tom just inadvertently designed the music video for that song.
Right? Yeah.
But saying that, that is true talent right there, to just be able to go into a booth and go, fuck it, let's write a song. Like, was the, because I couldn't do that. I'd just stumble over every single word that came out of my mouth and I'd be like, there once was a man who did a dance. I don't fucking know. But did you go into the studio going, I'm going to save this one song and then I'm just going to go and see what falls out of my face, or did it just sort of happen?
You mean like the Make You Mine?
Yeah, writing? Yeah, sorry.
Just kind of, I didn't really plan it. I never really plan. Well, sometimes I do, I guess. But yeah, that just kind of was just a random thing. I think Matt was maybe taking a pee break or something, and I was just in there. So I was like, try to write something. Yeah.
Imagine you're just there strumming along, making this song, like, shit, he's having a piss right now. No one's recording this. I've just written gold. Yeah. I didn't write it down. It fell out of my mouth. Shit.
Yeah, no, I always, if I'm like, if I catch something good, I always just do a voice memo on my phone. Even if it's like 20 minutes long of me writing the whole thing, I'll just make sure I get it. Because I do forget things very easily, so.
That's just quite
have you had moments where you've been in like an uncertain situation, like the shower or asleep or in a random point?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get some random tune in your head or some lyrics come up and you go, oh my God, I need to write that down. And I take it the phone obviously is your best friend. Have you ever had moments like that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't do it as much now because I just kind of, I'm like way more relaxed about that. I'm not always like, oh my God, like I need to remember this because I have so many like ideas all the time now. But yeah, it does happen. I think that happens more so now with like script writing or like story ideas and stuff like that. But yeah, I try to just like keep singing it or keep saying it until I'm fully clothed and I can record it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Say we can fly stripped bare.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting concept.
So, and I know we've spoken to quite a few musicians in the past and saying like when they finish an album, they have to sit on it for bloody ages before it gets released. And by the time it gets out, they're like, I'm so glad to finally get on it. Was this the case for you with the album? Was you sitting on it for quite some time?
I was, yeah. It was just a very kind of complicated like record label situation. And yeah, so I it was like about 2 years, maybe. I don't know, maybe more. Ow. Yeah, which was fine, I guess, you know. It was a bit frustrating because I just wanted to wait till it was out until I started writing new stuff because I've just always had this big backlog of songs. So it's like by the time, and I've said this before, but it's like by the time a song comes out or album comes out, I'm just not even like connected to it anymore. So it's kind of hard to want to like promote it or focus on it. So yeah, it's kind of tough to consciously like really slow down my writing and stuff until it was out, but I'm glad I did. So
it is, yeah. Though, obviously, so you've got a massive backlog and whatnot, and it means that when the album is obviously it's now out, you've just got so many songs that you've already done that are already made and ready. It's almost like you could take a back seat and be like, well, this is great because I could just have that come out then, have that come out then. I'll just chill for a couple of months.
I get, yeah, but you know, weirdly, that doesn't it kind of makes it tough for me because I feel like I need to be doing something or I want to be like doing something. So, but yeah, thankfully, now it's mostly just like EDM collabs that I have coming out, and then yeah, and then, another Say We Can Fly track I finished, but I'm kind of almost where I want to be with everything. So, because I do want to start doing like, you know, a song a month, just like whatever I'm feeling or writing, just write it, release it, and do that kind of thing. So that'll be nice, I think.
So I heard somewhere that you wanted to make this album like a trilogy, like Between the Roses and this one. Where did that idea come from?
I don't know. I just thought it'd be cool. I've just always been a fan of trilogy, like films, and you know, just that whole like idea of three parts. I just feel like it works really well, and for me, I just feel like I have one more in there, you know, as far as like this concept goes. So I'll probably do it at some point, make it.
I just kind of feel I'm wondering what the title will be. You've got Between, Beneath, will it be On Top of the Roses?
It'll be like Betwixt the Roses or something. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know yet. I actually don't know what it'll be called.
Well, please come on. That's a great word. That is absolutely a great word.
I don't even know what it means. I actually don't know.
Isn't it? It's between things, isn't it? I think it's between again.
Just call it that.
So you put the rose in there, it's called Betwixt.
Yeah. I'll come up with something.
Because obviously, between it, the way I looked at it was like between is like life, living, enjoying through the roses. And obviously, beneath is death. So I didn't know if it could be like afterlifey or another worldly. No, that's a sort of concept I took from the names.
That just made me realize that's kind of exactly what it is. I didn't really consciously think of it that way. But yeah, that I think that is kind of what I was doing. And like this album, I just wanted to go a little. Explore like more of the darker parts or darker side for myself. I don't know if it makes sense to anyone else, but yeah. And then, yeah, I just feel like somehow close it off with the third one. We'll see. But
I'm very much looking forward to that. How did you come up with the names for your songs?
It's all usually for the most part is just like whatever the song is, like that's what I'll call it. So it's like a lot of times like the chorus tagline or the whole point of the song is just what I'll name it. So I usually I pretty much always will, you know, I'll come up with that first. Like that'll just kind of come to me first, like the point, and then I write everything around that. So.
Okay, so you haven't had like songs where you've gone, I'm going to call it church. No, I don't like that. No. Let's call it jester. No, I don't like that either. You don't have moments like that?
Not really, no. I mean, maybe for some of like the EDM stuff, or whatever. Yeah, no, it's always like I just there. So.
Okay. I know somebody kept asking this on your social media, so I thought I would actually ask the question so that it can finally be answered for everyone to enjoy. How do you know what sort of order to place your tracks in? How do you know you want to put Knuckles at the start with, you know, then Bleeding Teeth, etc., and then put Hell Is towards the end?
It's honestly just like a feeling thing, man. It's just, I don't know. It's really just like the story, I guess, progression. Like to me, it makes sense in some weird way. So that's it. It's just a feeling thing.
Oh, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I imagine I'm so indecisive on things. If I was a musician, it would take me ages to pick a track listing. I just double guess myself every single fucking time.
The tough part sometimes is just like the opening track, but I've always kind of been more focused on just like telling it as like a story. And it's obviously like it doesn't make like logical sense as a story, but it's just kind of the feeling of it. So yeah.
Kind of how I suppose that's something only you would really resonate and know though, because obviously you're the one that wrote it and made it, etc. We're just coming on that journey with you. So
yeah, and a lot of times with, and even with this album, like I write the last track first. So I always kind of know where I'm ending.
Oh,
yeah. And it's not like I plan it that way. Just that's, it always happens that way for some reason. So
that's a really cool way of doing it though. I think.
Yeah. I just like to kind of know where I'm ending up. That helps me a lot. So, cause then it's like way less pressure. It's just like, you know, you've already done the hardest part. So,
You obviously dabbled a bit whilst obviously waiting for this record to be released in the whole EDM and emo rap world. Would you be going back down that road at all?
I mean, as far as like EDM, like I've really started working with a lot of like producers, like EDM producers, and like I, you know, do top lines and vocals for them, which I enjoy more than making like my own type of EDM, like as far as what I've released before. But I am like working on like a really heavy EDM project, which I don't know when I'm going to finish, but just kind of more like mid-tempo, like bass stuff. And then, yeah, emo rap, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, anytime I've tried to do it, it's just always kind of felt like a bit forced. So I haven't really like done it. But anytime I listen to it, I'm like, oh, I'd really love to explore this more. So yeah, at some point I'm sure I'll make something, even if it's just like a single. So yeah.
So I love the fact that while you were waiting for this latest album to come out, you know, you've been a busy boy constantly, you know, releasing like Skeleton Heart EP with Sunday Friend, and all with like this new sound that we're just talking about is more electronic approach. I have now dubbed Emo DM. I was quite proud of myself when I thought that earlier.
Nice. I like that.
I'm quite proud of that. And but what made you want to branch out and try this style of new music in the in between time? Was it people? Because obviously it's different from what people generally associate you with.
I just kind of honestly, I think with that whole thing, I just like didn't really care. I was just like, I just want to make something that like I'm not too attached to and I can just do and it's not super high pressure. I was just like, it's kind of an opportunity to try something new because I already have this album done. Like, I know I'm bringing that back around. So I don't know. I just thought it'd be kind of cool. And like Sunday Friend is amazing producer and it was just kind of fun. Like it was, I just didn't care about it too much, if that makes sense, where it was. So it was a bit easier just to like, let it be whatever it was, try something new. So.
I like it. I was especially a fan of your cover of Kate Bush's Running Up That Hill. You put an incredible spin on that absolute classic. Where did that idea come from?
Yeah, I literally just was like, I mean, I just watched that season of Stranger Things and I just loved the whole kind of like vibe of tying that song in. So I just thought it'd be cool to try because I became a fan of it. So
it's great. It's so good.
Thank you.
So speaking of collaborations, obviously you've done a fair few recently, like we said, Sunday Friend, Caslow, we mentioned earlier, Trey Cyrus. As a musician, you know, you've worked solo for the majority of your career. What made you want to work with other artists? And was that like hard or a weird transition for you to make to go, hold on, let's have someone else's opinion?
Yeah, you know, it was something I always resisted a lot. And I think it was mostly because back when I was starting out, it was always like, oh, you're going to go co-write with this person, sit in a room with someone else and try to write a song. And I just never, I could never tap into that same kind of space for the most part doing that. So when I started to cut, it was more, it's more, it was like, started to be like, okay, I have a song that I've written, and then, you know, I'll reach out to somebody to sing a, their verse on it. So it's like, I don't have to worry about, like, I'm already kind of saying what I want to say with it. And then, I don't know, I think Trace was like one of my first collabs, if I can remember correctly, like, as far as that goes. And I, then I just kind of started to really enjoy it and had more people reaching out to do EDM, and I just kind of started to look at it a different way, I guess. So I do enjoy it a lot now, for sure. And it's, I cool mean, because you get to like share your audiences too, you know? So I think that's cool.
Didn't mean to cut you off there. I do apologize about that. The talking of the collaborations, the new Caslow track, Your Boyfriend's Car, that you've obviously written on, is unreal. It's literally incredible. It's almost like you were built for pop punk. It's got that pop punk EDM-y sort of style to it, and it just merges beautifully, by the way. From a personal standpoint, I think this is the road you need to go down, Braden. I think you need to start going down this road now, because it's, I can't listen to it. It's great.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I like how it turned out, for sure. Yeah, thanks. I don't know. I don't really like write that stuff myself, so that's part of why I like doing collabs like that, because I just wouldn't go and like write like music like that, you know? So if that part's done, it's a lot easier for me to just like hop on board. Yeah. So.
Because when you said before then about being forced to co-write with somebody in a studio, I can't imagine that. And that must feel so forced. You know, obviously you're not going to be in that headspace or feeling it, because it's like, go in there, write a song now. You go, okay. Bricks, how should we write about bricks?
Yeah, dude. Well, I think that's how a lot of artists do it, though. It's just, like, that's kind of the process. Like, you go and you write with people, especially the bigger artists. A lot of times, like, you're in a room with like sometimes like 10 people, you're writing a song, and then you record it. Or sometimes someone else writes it and they just send it to you. I mean, there's obviously like songwriters that write a lot of the big songs and they send it to the artists. And it's just kind of a step-by-step process, where for me, it's always just been like, I just do it, you know? And because it's not about that, it's always just been about like expressing stuff. So unless, I don't know, I have to kind of work with like a very specific kind of person in order to do it. It's hard for me to work with like a songwriter that just like knows formulas and all that stuff, because that's not really like I like to have long songs, like to have like weird stuff. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I can imagine when you've got 10 fucking people and they're trying to write a song, and you've written whatever, and they go, yeah, I don't like that. And then the person goes, yeah, actually, but quite like this bit. Why don't you change that bit? And then someone else goes, yeah, what about this? Change that bit, put it back to that, and then put it this way instead.
For sure, man. And like that obviously works for a lot of cases, but just as far as for my music, I feel like it just totally takes the point away. So I don't really do it. So.
I can't say I blame you, but especially the type of music you write as well, it's so personal. You don't want other people's opinions and input on it, because that's you. That's your heart you're putting out there.
Exactly, man. Yeah. So I had to just kind of let myself be okay with not doing that, because I used to feel very, like, if I was working with a producer or something, I would just feel kind of bad if I was like, no, I want to keep it this way, you know? And they're like, no, it should be this way, you know? So I just kind of was like, I just don't care. Like, I don't want to put myself in those situations anymore. Like, because it's like, if I'm not enjoying it, what's the point? Like, why would I even do it, you know? So.
Exactly. Can't argue that at all. Another thing that you've done since our last chat, you got to go on tour with the wonderful Secondhand Serenade, and of course you released the album Secondhand Heartbreak, which is a fantastic live album. How was it playing live again?
It was good, man. It was you know, it was kind of tough, like to kind of get back into it and like feel comfortable, and I haven't kind of got back to feeling comfortable on stage. And I think just those years of being alone and all that, like, kind of stripped something away. And but it was awesome. Like, Secondhand Serenade is like the reason I started, you know, playing music pretty much. Like, he was my favorite artist when I was a kid, and it was like amazing to get that opportunity. So very cool, like very amazing experience for sure.
So. And you got to celebrate your birthday whilst away as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
and
was nice.
Cake for you. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice. Super nice, man.
Yeah. So with the live album, was the intention always to record one of these sets to put it out, or were you just whim of the moment?
I was just kind of in the moment. Like, when I play live, I run everything through my computer anyway. Like, I use plugins and stuff like live instead of, you know, pedals or whatever. So I had the option to just hit record, which is nice. So I was just like, hey, I'm going to try out one show. And it was cool. Like, I don't know. So I recorded. Yeah, I just kind of tried to record at least like one song a show because I wanted it to be all from different places. Yeah, so it was really just kind of a fun project that I finished like while I was on the road. And I think I took the picture in the van and got it uploaded while we were in the van. Like, yeah, it was really cool. Just kind of capture that.
Just amazing. I think it's such a clever idea to do a song in different cities rather than, because obviously a lot of bands or people in the entertainment industry pick one city. It's always like, for Britain, it's always London, Manchester. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's never, and then when you've got like Atlanta, San Diego, California, like loads and loads, Kansas City, loads of fucking different places. So yeah, I think it's such a cool thing to do.
For sure, man. Yeah, I'll probably do another one too. Like it's really easy to do. So like, why not, you know?
Are you touring this album?
Yeah, I should be announcing a tour soon for the summer. So yeah.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Keep your eyes peeled, people.
Yeah.
Were those shows of Secondhand Serenade, were those your first shows you'd done coming out of COVID as well?
Yep. That
must have been quite nerve-wracking to get back up there then.
Yeah, it was a little bit for sure, man. I completely lost my ability to socialize over that time, and I'm still trying to get it back, you know? So it was a little tough, but everyone else kind of felt that way too a little bit, I think, so it was fine, you know? Except for John is a beast. I don't think he ever felt that way. So, but yeah, it was cool though. Sure.
Yeah, you like fucked off to the Philippines and Indonesia and shit doing shows over there. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's killing it. So, it's awesome.
Well, thanks to him, that's how I discovered you. So, you know, we wouldn't be sat here otherwise. I don't know why I'm going to tell this story, but I will. I think I've already told it, but there we go. Just chilling out, having a bath. Phone was on the old radio, second started radio thing that Spotify did back in the day. And I heard this song. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. What's this? By the River by Say We Can Fly. I was like, holy shit. I'll listen to this album then. And was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. The entire way through. Just like, this is phenomenal.
That's a great image. I love it.
You're so welcome. And I hope everyone listens to that enjoys that as well. Sorry.
I'm sure they will.
By the time the album's finished, his bath's freezing cold, his skin's wrinkly. He's like, I'm not moving.
That's funny, man.
I just want to say one thing before we move on, which is I just want to massively thank you for supporting our show. Obviously, with the wonderful Stay Cozy clothing. So obviously, when we last spoke to you on your own, that this wasn't a thing. So just massive shout out. Thank you so much for, you know, supporting us and sponsoring us and just being an absolute goddamn legend.
Dude, thank you guys. Thanks for repping it all the time. Like,
always. Awesome. Always, man. Always. It's funny because I have work meetings every single day, so I make sure that I have Stay Cozy up here, that I either wear a Stay Cozy hoodie or I wear our show hoodie. And everyone at work was like, Stay Cozy. Yeah, I'm like, always, mate, always. But the thing is, they may be taking the piss out of me, but it sticks in their mind. Oh, yes!
Hey, I rep you guys too, man. I mean, I actually ordered a size too small, so, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So.
What's the future looking like for Stay Cozy clothing? What's next? What can you can talk about anyway?
Yeah, we're moving to boots, like rubber boots. Holy. No, we're sorry, man. Actually, kind of a good idea.
But it is, in a way.
Festival season.
Yeah. true. I'm sorry, man. I'm trying to get. We got a new line coming up very soon. I'm just waiting for the samples to arrive, and then coffee mugs as well dropping with the new line. So, and then we're working on like finding a like US, like North American manufacturer to make our like velvet hoodies as well, to bring those back. Because it's just important, I think, for me as well. I just want to try to, you know, just make sure it's like ethical as well, as far as that whole process. So there are a lot of companies here in the US that do like, you know, manufacture from the ground up. So we're talking to a few right now, but I really like to find like a long-term partner that, you know, go to their warehouse, factory, whatever, and just kind of be a part of the process. So yeah, working on that. But in the meantime, we got new stuff coming out, probably, hopefully next Friday. That's the goal. So yeah.
I think that's close. Cause obviously just heading back to the album very, very quickly, you dropped your first ever LP.
Yeah, true.
Bright Red LP. Absolutely stunning. Come with a lyric book and everything. Beautiful. Like, why, how come you've only just dabbled in the vinyl world?
I don't know. I guess I was just like, that's because it is like, it's really expensive to make them. So I just didn't know if, you know, if it would be like worth it. You know what I mean? Like if people would want to buy them. So I just kind of wanted to save it for this album because, you know, new album makes more sense just to kind of do it. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's definitely something that I want to, you know, try to make more of. Like, I'd like to eventually like have a whole kind of storefront where I have like all my records available on vinyl and CD and stuff. So.
Amazing. So you're going to go back and get Blessed of Those out in Between the Roses and that sort of thing as well.
I can't sadly do Blessed of Those because I put that out through a label. So they, you know,
oh.
But yeah, most of the other ones I think I can do as far as I remember. Oh, wait, maybe I can do that one. Actually, I don't know. I got to ask my manager. I don't know. But
do I own this? I can't remember.
Yeah. It's complicated, man, because there's so many different types of like ownership, and, like royalties, and like, I don't know. So, yeah.
It's weird how the music industry works. Like, you find bands put out compilation albums, and you're like, why isn't any of the songs from this album on it? Oh, because I don't own those songs. I wrote them, recorded them, and effing, but I don't own them. I can't do anything with them. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's pretty complicated.
But just, we briefly mentioned you saying about the next drop for Stay Cozy coming next week, hopefully. What sort of things can people expect from this new drop?
It's just more hoodies. I really just kind of wanted to like turn my focus toward, like just kind of go with hoodies. This is one of the new ones, obviously. I wear them all the time, but yeah, so this is one of the new ones, and we're doing, there's more like colorful designs. I just want to try some more like color stuff, you know, because I haven't really done that. So, yeah, so that'll be cool. I think there's like seven or eight new hoodies and a bunch of coffee mugs. So, yeah, I think I'm probably going to have like every Stay Cozy design available on as a mug, I think is what I'm going to do. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So,
I love that. So, we do need to talk about a very special project you have coming up called Farlight, alongside friend of the show, Baz Black. I'm starting to feel like we have a little TCO pod family going on now. Everyone seems to intertwine. But what can you tell us about Farlight?
So yeah, Farlight is a, I haven't rehearsed, I feel like I should have this rehearsed, but yeah, Farlight is a horror anthology series that I've kind of been working on. Like, originally I had this idea for like a horror movie. That was going to be all these like short story, like a couple of short stories that take place kind of that are all connected. And I started working with one of my friends, Richie Gordon, just kind of reigniting the idea. And he actually named the show, originally it was called Fairlight, and he misspelled it on a document and called Farlight. So he kind of ignited this idea for like writing it into a series. So I started to work on these different episode concepts. And then I connected with Baz because of you guys. And we just really clicked and, you know, started to talk about it more. And yeah, so there's, you know, I think it's probably going to be 7 or 8 episodes in the season, and we're going to be shooting the pilot at some point in this summer. So, so I've just been, working on trying to kind of get that all together, and I'm really looking forward to seeing kind of what comes of it. So,
what made you want to move from a movie to a series? Then, did you think the series would have fit it better than the short stories of a movie?
I think because kind of what it turned into is just like this, it started to become this kind of world that is just like, I wouldn't want to limit it. Like, obviously a series is way harder to like, you know, get made because it's just a different process than like a film. But I just feel like it's just kind of infinite possibilities that really works well with a series. Instead of trying to cram it all into like a film or something, which I mean, could probably work as well, but I just want to try it. You know, me and Vaz kind of talked about it. We just might as well just try it. If it doesn't work, we can shoot like an indie film version of it or something. But yeah, just kind of feels like it makes the most sense. So,
where did the idea even come from to write this horror anthology?
I'm just like, I'm a huge fan of horror movies, and there are just certain movies that really stuck with me. Like Hereditary is one I always go back to. It's like a really just disturbing film, and I was kind of been like fascinated about like what makes a film feel that way to me. And there's a lot of times in horror movies, I'm like, why don't they do this? Like, it's not even scary when you just do the jump scare all the time. Like so I just was like, I just want to find a way to like kind of tap into that and explore that, like the fear, like what, and for it's just for me personally, like what really makes me afraid, and try to kind of figure it out and write that into to stories. But it's just I just love horror. I want to try to make it basically at the end of the
Can we
day.
do, could you do like an outtake episode where you try and work out why teenage girls always go in the basement on their own?
Yeah, I guess that is. Yeah, I
Because
guess that's happened in the.
like with horror films, I'm not gonna, if that was me in that situation, I'd be fucking gone. I would be like, oh, I'm all by myself in a massive fucking house. I better go and check the basement for no reason where there's actually no means of escape other than the way I came in.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's such a formula to everything, which I get, you know, but I just want to kind of try to do it at, like the same way I'd approach like a song or something. Just kind of do like whatever feels right. Like I don't know. So not try to stick to a formula, you know, just kind of see how it. I mean, it could turn out complete trash, like, but I'm hoping it doesn't. And Baz is a genius, so I feel like it'll be pretty solid. So.
Oh, I'm absolutely buzzing. I'm really excited for it. Like, I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, thanks.
But yeah, it's like horror. I personally not a fan, in my opinion, for horror things. It's just I just can't. I've enjoyed a few. Like, I enjoyed The Strangers. I thought that was a really good film. Obviously based on a true story. Do you think that horror has gone as far as the genre can go now, because there are so many movies out there? I know, like, everyone loves like Barbarian, that's brand new, that's come out recently, that everyone's going mental for at the moment. I'm pretty sure there's another one that I can't remember the name of. But I saw a trailer for a new, I think it was like an Evil Dead Awakens or something,
So
where
much.
like the daughter's mum is a zombie, but she's not at the same time. It's really odd. I don't know if I find that. What I'm trying to say basically is, do you think that horror films and the horror genre are now clutching at straws because it's almost gone as far as it can go?
No, I definitely see your point. I think in a lot of ways, yeah, it's like just like what more can you do? But I think that's why like these movies like Barbarian and like I think there's one called Skimming a Rink or something. It's like a weird, takes place in a house. It's like all these like weird kind of ones people are really gravitating toward because it's like different. And that's kind of with Farlight. I want to try to do something different, you know, and just kind of because for me, horror has always been like it's like between the lines. It's like the space, like the silence. That's what scares me in movies and stuff. So yeah, just kind of more focusing on that, you know, I think is yeah, you just got to be creative. Try to
Yeah,
find your own voice with it. So, and I'm nervous
absolutely.
about it. I've never done it, obviously, and I'm hoping I can, but I do have a vision for it, and I try to trust that when I'm making anything. So,
How much of it is written and ready to go?
fully written. I think there's three episodes like fully written, and then I have like outlines for most of the other ones. So I get them out, and you know, just kind of the overall story is at least in my head is kind of written. A lot of the visual stuff is kind of on paper now, and the theme song's written. So yeah, it's coming together for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What was like, so obviously, sorry, just going back to, I do apologize, going back to the movies just talking about, like, were you inspired by movies like Barbarian, that sort of thing? Are they that the sort of psychological horror more than anything else?
Yeah, like Barbarian and like The Babadook is another one of my favorites. Hereditary, like I said, and I'm trying to think of other ones. But ones that I don't know, there's just something about it. I don't know how to, I don't even know what it is, man. But it's just like this. I think honestly, what it is, like what scares me is like being close. And there's one called Relic as well, which is just really disturbing. I think the concept of like being close to death really freaks me out. Like when there's something like in your house or like. You kind of just see it in the corner, but it's not like doing anything, you know, just that unknown, like there's something following me, there's something here. Like noises, you know, just really subtle noises that these things make or whatever. That just really, I don't know, it just really hits me. So it isn't weirdly inspiring. It's like I would love to try to create that because I think I just see as much value in like the dark stuff as I do as like the more lighter stuff. I don't know why. I just kind of see it that way. I think it's all worth being explored. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. If it's anything like your music, like it's, we're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah, man. And I think part of what I struggle with a little bit is I know not everybody likes horror. I know some people just like to stay away from that. And so it's kind of hard for me to like just really want to put it out there, especially with my current audience, like to share it. Because I know it's, you know, some people maybe make them upset or whatever, but I'm really trying to just like get past that and just like be proud of it and stick by it. And I know why I'm making it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I was going to say, I can imagine it might be weird for some of your fans. They know you as, you know, this musician who wears his heart on his sleeve, to then playing this character for you put on Instagram, Ethan, like his whole other side of you. Have you had much feedback from what the stuff you've put out there?
Just a lot of people putting crying emojis and no. I mean, honestly, it's kind of mixed. Like it seems like in general, people are pretty excited, like stoked about it. There's obviously some people that are like, you know, maybe don't get it, but I'm trying to not care about that. Yeah. So, but it's hard too, because sometimes like with social media, it's like you'll post all these things about what you're doing, but somebody only sees one thing and it's completely out of context. And like, you know, so I just try to like not worry too much about the comments and whatever. But honestly, overall, it seems like people are pretty supportive and just like wanting to see it. So yeah, it's pretty nice.
To be fair, Dakin Tyke has this incredible audience behind it. So I see no reason that Farlight won't have as well. So
it does, man. Yeah. Yeah, dude, it does. And I'm thankful for that. And sometimes I do have to tell people like, hey, like, I'm not smoking weed. Like, don't worry. It's just tea. I was like, oh, Brayden's a stoner? Like, no, it's like, no, it's called cinema, you know? It's called cinema, all right? Like, but, yeah, so.
Oh, I love it. Dude, we mentioned Baz a couple of times there. Like, how did you end up working with him? I know we had a meeting all together, and then the next thing you know, you two are working together. What happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, Tom was always like, oh, I feel like you guys would connect. So, yeah, we did that meeting, and after that, I just kind of hit him up on Instagram. Cause I felt like we would connect too. Like, so I was just like, hey man, like I'd love to just hop on a call and talk sometime. And then I told him about Farlight, this idea, sent him the script. He read it. He's like, dude, I love this. Like, so then we just got on a call. We started talking and yeah, it just seemed like it's very aligned with kind of what he wants to do as well. So it just kind of just works. And I feel like me and him are pretty similar as far as like our views on like horror and stuff. And just from our conversation, I was like, yeah, he gets it. And I feel like I needed that a little bit. So, yeah. So just kind of written in the stars, as they say, you know?
Yeah. But like-minded people with like-minded people, it just works.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you get to know people and you're like, oh my God, you two would actually be fucking, okay, right. Let's, oh, we're all going to have a meeting to talk about things, et cetera, when realistically it's like, Baz, Brayden, Baz. Enjoy yourselves. We'll sit here quietly and enjoy.
No, it's nice, man.
Spectacle.
Definitely appreciate it, yeah. Cool connection.
Welcome, boys.
What I absolutely love about you, and we're having this conversation, is you are not afraid to follow your passions. Like, oh, I like horror film. I quite like to make a horror film. Fuck it, making a horror film. Like, I like music. I like this sort of music. Do you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to write it. You know, with Dakin Tyke, everything like that, you're not afraid to push yourself out of your comfort zone and just go, fuck it. I'm going to try it. And I really admire that. And I want people who are listening to this to grasp onto that. And because if you want to do something, fucking do it. So nothing is stopping you, unless it hurts people. Don't do that. But, you know, nothing is stopping you from trying. So everyone go fucking do it now.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, and I think too, especially now, it's like there's no excuse. Like, I mean, YouTube is literally like free college, free. Like, you can learn pretty much anything on there, I would say, as far as creative realm, especially. So, yeah, and I mean, I definitely am afraid to do it a lot of the time. Like, I overthink, I get nervous, but I'm just like, life's short. Like, I just gotta try it, you know. So, yeah,
I love it. I think it's amazing.
It is incredible. You look at your back catalogue, you know, you've got loads of albums out. You've written a fucking movie score that you released as a Christmas album. You've done a live album in loads of different cities. You've got your own YouTube channel. You have your own podcast. You have your own clothing line. You're now writing a TV series. It's like, is there anything you can't do? Like, do you have time to breathe or live or eat?
I do, yeah. I mean, honestly, man, it's hard sometimes because, like, I know a lot of, you know, successful people like that I watch or like look up to say this, like, when you spread your focus too thin, sometimes it's not a good thing. And I do struggle with that a little bit. It's just like, there's just so many things I want to do, and it's hard to pull back and like focus on like, okay, I need, you know, but I'm trying to get more conscious of that now. And yeah, cause it can be easy to just like do 10% of 300 things, you know? So I'm trying to learn that and work on that. But I eventually the stuff that needs to get done usually gets done. So it's whatever.
This might be a really random ass question. Do you find it gets easier as you get older?
It does in some ways. Yeah. I mean, it's, and you know, less in some ways too. Like I think when I first started with everything, I didn't overthink as much. I just like did stuff all the time. And I was a lot better at listening to kind of my gut and like my heart. And I feel like I've lost that a bit being older, but at the same time, it's just like, you just have a different perspective and things are, you just put less pressure on everything. So in a lot of ways it's gotten easier because of just like the stuff I've learned being a human, like living and whatever. Yeah, I think it's easier having more tools, being able to do more things. That does help a little bit. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, the more you can do, it's like there's so many possibilities. So it's like just sit here for an hour, like, okay, what am I gonna do? Like, you know? Yeah. It's chill. It's chill. I enjoy it.
There's the old adage as well, the old expression, practice makes perfect. You know, you keep doing these things and over the years and years and years, it's like, okay, I'm doing this today.
No problem. For sure. For sure, man. And in a way, it's like it loses its magic when you know, at that point, but at the same time, yeah. So it's just kind of what's the thing people say? There's some like thing, you know, like a compromise either way, but there's a cooler way of saying that. You know what I mean? I can't remember what it is though.
It's as soon as we get off this call, you're just gonna go, that was it.
What is it? Anyway, try to think of it later. But anyway, yeah. So yeah.
Oh, I love it. But before
catch
we 22,
catch 22, that's what it is.
Yeah, oh, there right. You go. He got it.
Okay.
Before we start wrapping up, what is next for you? What have you got coming up that you can talk about? Don't do a Dake and Tyke album on me now and not bloody tell us. What have you got?
I mean, I have a bunch of songs coming out. This month I'm releasing a cover called Favorite Song by this guy named Toozy. He's a rapper. So I'm putting that out. I got a song coming out on May 5th, May 15th, May 26th, and then August, I think, or wait, June, May, June. June, I think I'm putting out another Say We Can Fly song. A couple other EDM collabs over the summer, so lots of that. And yeah, just trying to get Farlight done this summer. Now it's in a tour at some point, and yeah, stay cozy. So same stuff, man, just trying to make stuff, you know. So
I love it. I love the fact that you're just so focused on being creative and getting that stuff out there. I absolutely love it. I would give my left nut to be able to just give up my bloody job and just be creative full time. I really admire it. Fair play.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Yeah, I think sometimes if I had to start now, I don't know what I would do. Like, I'm very glad I started when I was like 14 or whatever. Like, cause if I had to build, like, try to do that from scratch now, I don't know if I'd have the attention or like the motivation. So, yeah.
Incredible. Mr. Stevens, do you have any more questions for our wonderful guest?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, when if you decide that now, you don't know what you would have done with yourself, or if you decided later than at 14. Like, do you find it absolutely mental that this is where you are now? You know, you've got this TV series coming, you've got all these albums out, you know, you've got your own clothing line, that sort of thing. Like, does it still blow your mind to this day?
I wish it did, man. You know, but it's like you just get so numb to it, and it's just like it starts to feel so normal where it's like, oh, that's not even like impressive or cool. It's just like, that's not good enough, you know? And it's just pressure I put on myself. And it's just, you know, you get what you want, and then the grass is always greener. You know what I mean? So it's, I try to, you know, be like proud of myself and just have little moments where I'm like, I've done some cool stuff, but it's just very, it's not how my mind works. I'm always like, all right, next thing, gotta be better, gotta do better. And so, yeah, Yeah, so it probably looks way different on the outside to like how it feels for me, but
it's like the best worst thing that's happened, like, because it's amazing that you've got all these, you know, these fingers and all these pies, but deep down you're like, fucking, I've got to look after that, I've got to look after that, I've got to sort that, I've got to write that, I've got to play that, I've got to go here and do this. So boys, you should be fucking well proud of yourself for everything that you've achieved at such a young age as well. You know, it's absolutely incredible. And like Jamie said, I would give my testicles away to be able to do the exact same thing as well. You know, to be able to be creative full time would be absolutely wonderful. Like it's an absolute dream. So you should be proud of yourself, man. You've accomplished so much already. I'm absolutely buzzing for Farlight. Like, I cannot wait. Like I said before, like, horror's not really my thing, but I can't wait to watch it. Like, I'm already buzzing.
Thank you, man. Yeah, Well, I'll send it to you as soon as we have an edit, you know? So
can't wait. Yeah. Absolutely excellent. Brendan, man, this has been absolutely amazing. Like, I absolutely love talking to you every single time. It's always a pleasure.
Likewise, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed this interview. It's really nice. Yeah.
Great. Do you have any plugs, social medias, people you want people to go and check out? Is this where he reels all the lists?
If you do go on Google, disconnect from the internet and hit spacebar, you can play a dinosaur game. So go check that out.
You can.
Do that, but that's cool. No, but I mean, all my stuff is just say we can fly, basically. Bye, Tom.
You've offended him with dinosaur games.
Like, I'm gonna go play that. Dude, I was just saying, as soon as we mentioned the dinosaur game, you just left. So we were just like talking about how you're just playing it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that literally is how you could have done that.
Right, before you get out of here, any plugs, social medias you want people to go check out, my friend?
Just like, yeah, everything is Say We Can Fly on the internet. And then Farlight, I think it's Farlight Series on Instagram for our show. Stay Cozy Clothing. That's about it.
Don't forget, staycozyclothing.com. Enter that discount code, The Chronicles, to get yourself 10% off your order.
Yes.
Love it.
Mate, this has been absolutely incredible. I always enjoy, like I said before, talking to you. So thank you so much for coming on for another round, really. It's been fucking great.
Anytime. Always a pleasure.
Got to find a reason to get you on for number 5 now.
Yeah, we'll think of something.
Oh, like, we'll get you and Baz on.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do
thinking.
Dude, we will catch up a bit later on. Have an absolutely wonderful rest of day. And we'll speak soon.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers, man. Take it easy.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Braden.
No worries. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What a great conversation. Like, he absolutely fucking broke me with that Dake and Tyke update at the start of that. Fucking broke me. What a man.
It was so fun. It's great. It's absolutely great. Always a pleasure, Braden. Thank you again, man. Like, we just love having you on this show. We love that you're a part of this show, obviously, sponsoring the show with Stay Cozy Clothing. Make sure you get on that website, staycozyclothing.com. Yeah, it's just absolutely wonderful. And we just really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as we did recording it.
It's about getting into schools and talking to young people, because, you know, I know that people can change. And it's about talking to people and getting them to understand and perhaps step back from violence and prejudice and whatever. And we just need to work together and keep on the good fight there.
Absolutely. Hey there, guys. We are ecstatically happy to announce that we are associated with the Sophie Lancaster Foundation.
The times are changing, and with the unfortunate death of Sophie, those changes have made a massive impact for the future. If Sophie was with us still today, I can guarantee what you are doing will still be reaching so many lives of young teenagers, young adults, and those who wish to be as different as possible. So thank you very much.
To find out more about this incredible foundation and all the work they do, and more importantly, how you can help, head on over to www.sophielancasterfoundation.com. the Stevens.
Khaled. Yeah, sorry, Jerry. I was listening to DJ Khaled's remix of the Vengaboys.
Oh, okay. Sorry to interrupt you. It's audience participation time.
Ah, wonderful. Participate, bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to participate in Jamie's Participation Challenge. This week, I said, it's time for the ultimate face-off. This week, we answer the question, who is better, McDonald's or Burger King? It's the battle of the Big Mac versus the Whopper. What do you prefer and why? What say you, Mr. Stevens?
Definitely KFC.
I fucking knew that was coming.
KFC all fucking day. Burger King is so overpriced. It's nice, but nothing makes me go, I really want Chicken Royale maybe, but I really want Burger King. Like, I just really... McDonald's chips are divine and the greatest things ever, but the I don't know. It just... McDonald's just doesn't seem what it used to be anymore, if you know what I mean. No. As a kid, it's the greatest thing. Like, oh my God, Mackie D's. But as an adult, it's like, I could have it all the time if I wanted. It's just lost the appeal.
So I do find, I love Burger King. Like, that is my answer. I prefer Burger King's burgers, like, tenfold. But I never sit there and go, fancy a Burger King. But the amount of times I sat there and go, oh, I'd love a Big Mac. I don't know what, I just never get that craving for a Burger King like you do at McDonald's. Weird one. Let's get some audience answers. So, Abby Lloyd says, Burger King for definite is better quality. But honestly, sometimes I just want a crappy and cheap double cheeseburger.
Who wants to pay 13, 15 quid for a burger, though? Do you know what I mean? Like, who wants to pay that much? It's like insane. Burger King's got out of business, though, isn't it? It's struggling massively.
Doesn't surprise me. Like, I took the kids there the other week, and I could not believe how much money I ended up spending on a meal for us
80
all.
Quid?
It was about 50 quid for us all.
That's disgusting, yeah. Man.
And by the time I realised the price at the end, I was like, motherfucker, but the kids are all sat down. Everyone's looking forward to the food. The hunger is like, I'm just going to fucking pay.
I hate that moment. I hate that moment so much when you go, oh, we'll do this. Then you go and you're like, it's how much, sorry? And you look at your bank and you go, oh. And then you turn around and see they're all like, yeah, it's going to be great.
Motherfucker. But yeah. Stefan Phillips says, convenience and price says McDonald's, but the king is king. You got a point. The king is king. See? It does seem to be a big part of it is the quality.
Not Kentucky Fried, though.
Yeah. That's all you give a fuck about it. Richard Fortenberry says, which one you can afford with money that you have at the moment? So, yeah, if you're feeling a bit of splash, have a Burger King. Anthony Weeks, Burger King has the impossible burgers. As a vegetarian, I've got to go with the king.
No, fair. That's a respectable answer. Absolutely.
Can't argue with that. Ken Fuji says Burger King by far in the USA, but bizarrely, it's the other way around in the UK. I was a Mc fan for decades in the UK, but I refuse to spend a dime on them here. Sky high prices and ever shrinking portion sizes and awful quality. That's just damn. Right down the fucking middle of there. That is. That's just yep. USA versus UK on that one.
Made me feel a bit ill when you said that.
Stefan Schramm says double sausage and egg McMuffin is the best thing ever, though.
Oh, Steph, you legend.
Jamie Walker is agreeing with you. McDonald's, but KFC is the GOAT.
Oh, always. It always will be.
It is great. It is great. It's hard to deny it, really. Heather Downey, Mackey's every time! So many exclamation marks. Like, she's quite passionate about this one. In what might be one of my favourite answers we had, Martin Skerritt, McDonald's. Oh. Burger King is nice, but so overpriced. McDonald's also do much better at coffee and breakfast. Fuck Burger King. And then, sorry, I flew off the handle a bit there. He got very passionate about his Burger King.
Oh, I missed that guy, so I need to go and see him. What a legend.
Just that at the end of, fuck BK. Graham Arnold, prefer Burger King's actual burgers, but McDonald's fries, nuggets, and the convenience, it takes the winner. Fair, can't argue with that.
Nope.
It's not really bad enough. Alex Graham, McDonald's every time. Burger King just smells of 90s misery.
Did Burger King have a mascot?
The king, didn't they? They had a king guy.
Oh, the king. Yeah, I remember. And now it's like smoke, cooked in smoke, or whatever the fuck it is now.
This is a grill. We don't use them in our restaurants, but here's one in the advert.
That's real smoke. Actually, real smoke, that is. It's real fucking smoke. I hate the advert so much.
Lara Organ says McDonald's because the chicken nuggets are better there. I don't think I ever had KFC chicken
nuggets. I don't get the nug thing. I don't get it.
I do like nuggets. Like, if the kid doesn't eat all hers, I'm having them.
But they're great, but they're not obsessively fucking amazing. Do you know what I mean? Potato croquettes, now we're talking. Do you know what I mean? Potato croquettes are where it's sucking out. Like, but chicken nuggets, I don't know, I just get bored after two or three. It's like dippers, there's like a bigger version.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Lizzie Edwards says McDonald's chicken nuggets are better, but then Burger King, you get more for your money and you're more full up after rather than McDonald's. So I'm going to say Burger King. Thinking with your wallet there, Lizzie. I think
McDonald's is designed to make you hungry again.
I agree with that. Same with like Pringles. Yeah. You can't just put them down. You have to keep eating them. There's something in them.
Yeah. I swear there's something like it might. I don't know if it might just be the salt content. I don't know. I swear there's something in them, though, that makes you feel hungrier.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. Becky Westwood, McDonald's for the Big Mac. Burger King is okay, but overpriced. Yeah, you're not the one that fucking paid. Richard Jordan, Burger King, because you don't have to use one of those filthy Mackey's touchscreen things or be shouted at by their customer headers. Fair. Fair. Those screens are, I don't imagine the sort of people have been touching them. Stacey Marriott says, McDonald's, more variety. Last time we had a Burger King, it was vile and it cost an arm and a leg. I think Burger King needs to lower their prices. That is pretty much the same answer we're getting every fucking time, how expensive it is. Right, I'll give you two more answers. First off, it's Ryan Williams. Ryan Williams, this is actually a tough question because nowadays I don't really eat either all that often. If I was going for more bang for my buck, then I'd probably go with Burger King because I'm always seeing advertisement for like 2 for $6 burgers. And last time I ate there, they had an extra value meal that had decently priced stuff. However, if I was choosing for taste, then I'd probably choose neither and maybe go to Wendy's or In-N-Out Burger. However, McDonald's has semi-decent toys for the Happy Meals. Yeah, in America, it's fucking cardboard over here. So I guess my choice would be Burger King. However, if I had the ability to time travel, I'd probably choose McDonald's and go to the 90s when McDonald's had the burger of the month. Man, I miss the superhero burger or the cheddar deluxe. What is a superhero burger? I need to know this. I did ask Ryan, he didn't reply in time, but that sounds amazing. I'm such a fucking child. Put superhero in the title, I'm like, I want to eat that. Don't know what it is, but I want to eat it. And last but not least, it's Claire Jones, Ollie Roylance, Jerry O'Keefe, Martin Kemp, because they all said the exact same thing. So I think this is the generic answer we're going to get now. McDonald's fries, Burger King burgers. Case closed. Argument settled.
We love it. We do. We appreciate everybody participating in Jamie's challenge. Thank you so much for everyone that got involved in that old... in that old tussle this week. So thank you very much. It's Jack and Potatoes this week. So go knock yourselves out. Just food related every time. I think it's a good one this week, though. So just food related. I'm loving it. Anyway, so if you enjoy Jamie's participation challenge, Callum's treating Thomas on the interview and all the shit we talk at the beginning, then you'll love the other 82 editions of the Chronicles of Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from, Spotify, Google, Apple. For some reason, I want to say Gmail. No idea why. It's got work on the brain at the moment. So, yeah, I definitely meant Google, guys. You can't find us on Gmail. Well, you can find us on Gmail, but you're just emailing us. There's no shows there. You can also find us on YouTube at The Chronicles of Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell to get notified when new videos are released. And comment. We'd really appreciate it. You can find all of our interviews are on there. All of our shows are on there if you want to watch our faces for some weird-ass reason. All of our hashtag WBW Way Back Wednesdays are on there, all our old interviews. All of our Bloodsock Live interviews are on there. All of our Bloodsock vlogs on there. Our Dublin Cross vlogs on there. And there's so much more coming this year. from other locations. It's going to be unbelievable. You can also find us on Facebook at The Chronicles of Podcast. Make sure you follow us, share us, put some memes in there. To just tell your mates, it'd be great. Jamie, while you're looking, where else can you find us?
You can find us listening to Say We Can Fly's brand new album, Beneath the Roses, and enjoying every damn little bit of it.
Doing that, and find us on the Twitter at TCO Pod. I want you to listen to Say We Can Fly's brand new album, Beneath the Roses, enjoying every last little bit of it and looking on the Twitter. Where else could you find us?
Being in a very excited, giddy child that Gladiators is coming back. I can't believe I had no idea.
Well, that, and on the Instagram at TCO Pod. We're also on TikTok at TCO Pod. Make sure you go watch Jamie's Chesney Hawks video and you go and watch Ducks of Tories. You can also find us on LinkedIn at The Chronicles of Podcast. Make sure you connect with us on there. And you can also come onto our beautifully brand new, sexy little, gorgeous little website at www.thechroniclesofpodcast.com. All of our episodes and shows are on there. All of our affiliations and sponsors are on there. All of our us are on there. And our shop is on there as well. So go and get yourself some Chronicles of Podcast merchandise. You know it makes sense. All right. You know, like listen to me right now. You know you want to do that. It'd be great. Make sure you follow us on the socials, follow us on YouTube, subscribe on there, and that you enjoy every single show we release because we bloody well love doing this for that and for all of you.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, shall we say thank you to a few of our friends? Every single piece of music you hear on this show is brought to you by one man. That one man is Mr. Singer-songwriter Matt Roberts. Go check him out on all the social medias at Matt Roberts Music. Go find him on Spotify. Go find him on YouTube. And you can check out his brand new album, Light of Day, as long as everything else is released. And now Matt is launching his very own podcast, The Songwriter Sessions. Go check it out. Launches very, very soon. His first episode. We cannot wait to listen to it. Matt, welcome to the podcasting world, my friend. But like I said, go make sure you are following Matt everywhere you possibly can so you can get kept up to date with all of his music and now his podcasting adventures. We also have to say thank you to this week's guest, Braden Barry, and his Stay Cozy Clothing. Head on over to www.staycozyclothing.com. Have a look what's on the website. It could be that hat that Tom's wearing. It could be this hoodie that I'm wearing. Whatever you like the look of, add that to your basket. As Braden said in the interview, there are some brand new hoodies coming very, very soon. But in the meantime, go check out what is on that website because there are some beautiful designs. Add them to your basket. Use that discount code, The Chronicles, and get yourself 10% off your order. A fantastic little gift from Braden to you. And last but not least, we have to say a massive thank you to the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. They're stamping out prejudice, hatred, and intolerance everywhere. As we announced on the social medias, and we alluded to at the start of this episode, we have been asked to become official ambassadors of the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. It means the absolute world to us. I'm not going to lie, when they asked us, I had a little bit of a tear in my eye. I was really emotional about it because we never thought when we invited Sylvia to come on this show and to tell her story and tell Sophie's story, we thought we would get to this point. And we are beyond humbled, beyond honoured. And it is absolutely amazing to fly that flag every single week and the fact they trust us to do that. If you want to come see us representing the Sophie Lancaster Foundation, make sure you are coming to the Primordial Festival tomorrow as you're watching this. It is going to be an absolute incredible event. If you've already got your ticket and you're going to be there, come say hi. We can't wait to meet you all. We'll be the nervous wrecks pacing back and forth, selling merchandise and spreading that message. But we absolutely cannot wait. We've got an incredible year lined up. We cannot wait to tell you all about it. It's going to be amazing. But let's not forget that it's a really important message. Head on over to SophieLancasterFoundation.com. If you're not aware of Sophie's story, please check it out. Please learn about it because we need to get the alternative subculture added as a strand of hate crime because it's quite very clear now from what happened to Sophie and what has happened to many people over the years, including myself, including my beautiful co-host here, just because of the music we listen to and the way we dress. It is about time it came to an end. So help us, help them, to help you, to help the next generation and make sure that what happened to Sophie never happens ever again. And last but not least, massive thank you to this handsome bugger sat right there.
It's over right back at you, my friend. Yeah, it's an absolute honour to be named ambassador for the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. It's quite prestigious in a way. And like you said, you got quite emotional. So did I. It was, like you said, I never thought that this little indie podcast would be going the direction it's going in and going places the way it's the places that it's going to. So it's just an honor. It just means everything, and we can't believe that we had to do this. It's great. So much fun. And we hope that you guys enjoy it just as much as we do, because, you know, otherwise, what would be the point of doing it if we're not enjoying it, you know? So another great edition, another great interview this week. Braden, thank you so much for being a part of the show once again. It means everything. Obviously, the brand new album, Beneath the Roses, is out now. Please go and check it out. Please stream it as much as you can. It's phenomenal. It's actually the best album he's ever done so far. And as for this week, we'll see you all next week for the Chronicles of Joel Harlow.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.